And today we're live at St. Ninian's. Well, crikey, it's all happening today from St. Ninian's with Year 12s today. Lily and Matthew and Corbin and Zen and Millie and Ava is with us. Lily, first of all, to Lily over here. That's Lily, that's Millie. Lily, we were talking earlier on about the fact you consider yourself a COVID year, is that right?
Yeah.
Why, and why is that?
Because when we started year seven, we were in lockdown. And, like, we didn't get the proper foundations of our year seven year. And, like, when we started our GCSEs, we kept being told that we should have been taught everything in year seven.
Right.
So that's why we should consider ourselves a COVID year, because we didn't, like, get any of our foundation stuff for maths and science and, like, English.
So it became apparent later on that, I mean, at the time, nobody knew quite what was going on in COVID,
yeah.
Did they? It was time off, wasn't it, at the
time?
It was okay. Corbin, did you notice that? Do you feel like a COVID year?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I believe that year seven obviously is a very important foundation year. It instills skills into you that you're going to be using throughout your whole school career.
Yeah.
Without it, I did feel a bit dried up of skill, to be honest.
Right.
Just across the board. And because it was such a crucial year.
So you're starting your final year in September, is that right?
Yeah, of course.
Are you thinking about university at all?
I'm probably not thinking of university, just because the career that I want to go down doesn't require it.
Which is what?
I'm wanting to go into the police force, most likely.
Right.
And that does not require any qualifications, actually.
Okay. And why the police force?
I've always believed that, like, almost my purpose in life was to help people. And I feel like on the island, being as small an island as we are, the police would be the best way to achieve that.
Any family connection at all? No?
Direct family? No, I don't believe so. But I definitely do have some friends of family through my mum that I know that have talked to me about it before.
Okay. Zen, will you be going to university the year after next?
Yes, that's where I'm planning to go. I'm not sure what university I'm going to be going to, but the career I'm thinking of choosing is medicine. I guess why I wanted to choose medicine was because, well, like Corbin has said before, I want to help people, but also I'm, like, really into, like, problem solving,
right,
sort of thing.
Anybody in the family in the industry?
Well, my mum works for Elder Grange, so she's helping around, like, you know, with the old people. So I guess that's kind of something to do with medicine.
Millie, so do you consider yourself a COVID person? I mean, do you see this year a COVID year?
Yes, I think so. Just because we missed the end of year six and beginning of year seven. So the year six, where you learn what year seven is going to be like and the transition to high school, I feel like we missed just because of all COVID and everything, like isolation, and we didn't really get that to St. Ninian's.
I was going to say, I mean, it was years ago and it seemed like another world, but do you remember, I mean, do you have any specific memories of, you know, of COVID?
I remember I got a desk built for COVID. I remember doing, like, BBC bike size on my laptop when my mum worked from home, and that's all really I remember. But I feel like, even though it was a long time ago, I feel like it did impact us quite a bit.
Ava, you're head girl, is that right?
Yes, I am.
You're head girl.
Yeah.
Tell us how the process is. How do you become, do you get chosen, or do you have to apply?
It's quite a vigorous process. So you start with applying, and six of us, we all decided to apply, and you just write why you think you should be head student, why maybe that would help you in the future, and then all those applications got marked out of 10, I think, so it was all a points process right until the end. Next, you had to do a presentation. You had to present in front of the whole tutor group team of what is our year group, so all of our tutor groups, which was quite familiar faces. You went around, you spoke to them, and they asked you questions which were completely blind to us. We could not prepare.
Were you self-conscious?
A little bit. I think it's so competitive trying to get something, especially when you really want it. Like, I went for it particularly for my future. I knew I wanted to write it on my personal statement, maybe, or things that maybe, like, jobs would look for, a bit of confidence in myself. But I think with it being so competitive, everyone was bound to be self-conscious. It was extremely difficult, especially we had to stand in front of our whole year group during an assembly and for 2 minutes present why we should be their head student, and then they voted on us, which is, it's very, at that moment,
like the X Factor.
Yeah, literally, that's what it felt like. And you felt like everyone was watching sort of your every move, but it was all worth it when it got to the end.
Okay, so what career do you have in mind?
It's a bit niche. I don't know if anyone would have heard of it, but I'm really wanting to go into Norland nannying.
The Norland. Yes. Oh, they wear brown coats.
Yes, they do. I'm extremely passionate about it. I'm going to really try and impress them this year, and I'm going to their open day in October to just see a little bit more.
And what's the process? Do you have to go to a college there? What is it?
Yeah, it's a university itself. You still get a degree out of it, but the university is Norland, so everyone there is doing the same course. The process to get in is pretty much the same as any other university, except you can give them a different personal statement of your own that links towards childcare and why you should be sort of responsible for children and why that makes you happy. And you also have to do an interview and a group task, which we all have to do for head student anyway. So it's quite nice to already know that I can do it.
Where does that ambition come from, Ava?
I've always loved childcare. I work in a nursery now part-time. I've got younger siblings and younger cousins, and it's just always been something that's made me happy. And I was going to go into child psychology, but I think that career is so, like, vigorous. I think that can be so difficult, and I just want to be there for people and make people happy. And I don't know if I was, like, strong enough to deal with maybe children who aren't so happy and that you actually can't just click your fingers and help.
Okay, Matthew's with us as well. So are you heading to university after next year?
Yes, I'm planning to go to university. My current idea is to do architecture. I haven't decided on a university at the moment, but my top option at the current moment is Lancaster.
And where did the ambition for architecture come from?
It's more of just my love for design. I love drawing things. I've always grown up. I just love being able to take an idea in my head and being able to put it onto physical paper or digital design, whatever it is. Just that being able, having a medium to express myself is something I've always enjoyed.
And how does school, how does St. Ninian's help you? What sort of guidance do you get?
Well, I didn't take art during GCSEs. I moved here from South Africa in 2024, so halfway through year 10. I didn't do art at GCSE, but in my own time at home, I do my own art. I do whatever I feel like doing. I do watch YouTube videos to try and, you know, boost my knowledge and extend my capabilities.
Matthew, what do you think of AI?
In terms of art?
Yeah. 'Cause art's very creative. Can AI be creative?
My personal opinion is that art is not really the physical thing you see. It's the journey that it took to get there. It's the reason for it being made. And when you type a prompt into ChatGPT to get a picture out of it, it's not really, there's no purpose behind it. It's just making something for the sake of it, rather than being an intention to it, a purpose for it.
Okay. Corbin, what's your view of AI?
Overall, I think it can be a quite positive thing. I'm just going to jump off of the art part because I do consider myself an artist as well. I believe that the biggest issue with it, in everything actually, but specifically art, is that it strips away the creative process, as we were saying before, but it also strips away the identity from the art. So you'll probably notice whenever you see something that's AI generated, it's all very similar. No matter what prompt you use, you'll still find the same smooth markings in it. It'll look very bland. If you look at actual human-made art, it's so vast, it's so varied. Different styles, different techniques, different mediums. And that's what the best thing about art is. And when you use AI, you're losing that.
Zen, have you ever used AI for homework?
Well, I would admit sometimes I have. But not fully copying off.
What's
them.
The school rule on using AI?
I think they would. Sometimes they would say it's acceptable, but they would say don't copy all of it into one document. But I would say not to rely too much on AI, because sometimes it can give you completely wrong information or minor mishaps where they will end up finding out that you have used AI.
Yeah. So completely wrong information.
Sometimes it does that. I think back when AI was still developing, it gets information wrong, I would say. I can't give a proper example.
You see, we're told now that AI is going to be the future of everything. You only have to turn the news on and AI is going to rule the world. So it will be your generation. It'll be your life that AI will be around. So, do you feel threatened by AI, or is it a tool for help?
Well, I can see it as a tool for help for some aspects, but a lot of people were saying things AI is going to take over several jobs. And, well, considering my career is, you know, through medicine, I don't think AI can particularly replace what doctors are doing right now, because sometimes there's a lot of like detail you have to go into where like sometimes AI can't see it, and it may even give you like, you know, the wrong diagnosis and end up making that person worse.
Millie, have you ever used AI in homework?
I never used it in homework. For help and coursework, for health and social, you can. There's a guideline where you only have to use it for brainstorming, but I'd never use it as saying, oh, that's the right answer, so I should use it, because that can negatively impact your coursework. But I'd never say I'd used it in homework, just because I don't really trust it, just because of all the misinformation that it spreads.
Okay, will you be voting in the September general election?
I think so. I haven't really decided yet. But
which constituency are you in? Do you know?
Probably. I don't know if Onchan counts as one.
Yeah, Onchan is.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
then Onchan then, because yeah, I live near Birch Hill. So
do you pay much attention to Manx politics at all?
Not really, but I sometimes I do know who. Like sometimes I do keep up with it. Let's say with Michelle Haywood, I knew everything about that. But,
and about she
what? About her and the 20 mile per hour signs.
Oh, the 20 miles per hour. Yes.
I kept up when it was about that, but not really.
What was your view of the 20 mile per hour thing?
I felt they were unnecessary, because if they did get put in, I feel like everyone would ignore them anyway, just because they've always been 30. Like most of the places have always been 30. Like near where I live, it was always been a 30. So I feel like people would just ignore anyway.
Ava, do you pay attention to... Are you going to vote in September, by the way, Ava?
I think I will. I think it's important for everybody to have a say in where they live, although I'm not the most up-to-date person on Manx politics.
What do you think of the wind farms that are projected?
I think it's such a controversial subject, because everyone loves the island that we live in so much, and something so big and actually impactful for those who are living in Laxey and actually love their view of the beach, and in the summer it's lovely. I think it's extremely impactful for them, and it affects their daily life and what they look out to. But I think people maybe are going about it in too strong opinionated ways, and therefore aren't being listened to. I think people should give their opinion in a calmer way, instead of maybe like harassing people online about just what they believe.
Corbyn, what do you think about the proposed wind farms?
I believe that the idea of it is definitely a positive. I think as an island, we should seek more renewable energy, or make us more energy independent, less reliant on energy from across. Although I do find reasoning in those people who oppose it. I understand, like Ava was saying, about the views. Our island is absolutely gorgeous, and it would take away from that. I do believe that there are probably better ways to go about it in terms of distance. I'm not entirely sure if they could be pushed back further. I just don't know.
Because at the moment they're saying they're going to be 6 or 6 or 8 miles offshore.
Yeah.
They're 1,200 feet high. These things are bigger than the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, they're huge. They're definitely incredibly visible.
Yeah.
But if it would be possible to push them out further, definitely be something to look into. I'm not sure on that.
Lily? The wind farms.
I think it's good for us to have more renewable energy as an island, but they definitely shouldn't be put too close to the island to ruin the island's atmosphere, because it'll also ruin like the tourism and people wanting to come and stay on the island.
Okay, do you think it's a price worth paying, though, if we are going to get more renewables? Something somewhere's got to happen, isn't it? Because there's the offshore ones, then there's an onshore one down south of the Isle of Man. So what do you think?
I think they're a good idea, but if there's any way to like make them less visible, that would be better for the island.
Okay. Matthew, are there wind farms in South Africa?
Yes, there are, but typically they're not really very visible, usually on the coastline. Not a very prominent factor. A lot of it is in low residential areas, so they're not very populated. They don't really get in the way of big major cities. It's not really something that is commonly an issue.
Right. I think it was Ava. We were talking about university, And is it accommodation and the hassle of going to uni? Because you're going to university across to the Norland place, is that right?
Yes, hopefully.
So do you think it's because at the moment we've got a university on the Isle of Man where lots of people go to, but is there still a pull to go off the Isle of Man to university?
I think personally, I'm from the UK. I moved here when I was younger, and I go back and forth all year round to see my family. And I think that's probably what pulls me more towards university. But I think even if I had been here my whole life, I think just the want to see something different after being here for so long, the wanting to like meet new people. And I feel like everyone relates to the fact that you can't go out to Tesco without seeing someone that you know. And I think being able to meet new people, and actually every time you go out, being able to see someone new, I think that's extremely important.
Well, of course, it's impossible to be anonymous on the Isle of Man, isn't it? So you like the idea of going somewhere where people don't know you?
Yeah, exactly. I think a fresh start is definitely needed for so many people our age, and I think that's what so many people want from university. But also, I think, to be able to go and actually live somewhere for a couple of years and decide, do I like it, do I not? I think that that's really important, and university is one of the best opportunities to try that.
In the back of your head?
Yes.
Will you come back to the Isle of Man?
Personally, at the moment, I wouldn't come back, I think. But I don't think that's something I'll know until I get there, because I might get to university and really dislike it and miss the small communities of the Isle of Man. But at the moment, I am quite happy to go off and travel and come back when I need to.
Because being a Norland nanny is a very transferable skill, isn't
it? Yes, exactly.
I mean, it is. You get a job anywhere in the world.
Of course, yeah. And I think that's what pulls me towards it as well. It means that I can travel and do something I enjoy all at the same time, which is incredible.
Okay. Millie, did we talk about university for you?
No.
Where are you thinking of going to university?
I'd love to go to university, but I wouldn't be able to afford it because I'm from a single parent household and I don't have any financial input from my father. So I'd love to go to York to study history and war studies, but at the moment it doesn't look very achievable for me. So I don't know what I would do.
And after. There's no option on the island for that course at all?
No. UCM recently pulled history, so I was very sad about that because my cousin was one of the last years of it. So, although I'd love to go to university.
What is it about history that you like?
I don't really know. I've just always loved history since year seven. Just looking in the past and seeing the world through a different lens and being able to see different people's perspectives and how they lived, and just being able to look at our past and see how the world has developed from what it was in, let's say, 1400 or the Victorian era.
My word. Do you have any favourite historical places on the island that you go to?
I love Castle Rushen. I visit it many times a year. I went with my mum and she didn't really like it, but I've always loved it. I studied it in GCSE, so I've always had that bit of knowledge, but I love it so much.
Yeah. To Corbyn again, one of the big political things that's been around for years now is the assisted dying bill on the Isle of Man. We were talking about it before. What's your thought on the assisted dying legislation?
Well, I was actually studying this in my AS levels in RE, so we talk about that exact argument: when exactly is life worth
preserving?
Yeah. And the way I look at it is, it's a measure of not the sanctity of life, so the importance of actual life itself, but I rather look at the quality. If someone's life is that low quality that they'd much rather pass in a much nicer, quicker way, where they can effectively say goodbye to family members and friends in a safe environment, rather than maybe doing something rash or the complete opposite of like dying very slowly and painfully, I believe that option should be available to them in certain situations.
Okay. Zen, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I would also agree somewhat. I would also say, like, the quality of life is what we, like, you know, need to prioritize with this person. However, I'm a bit skeptical of it because sometimes with, you know, how people predict death, I guess, like saying you will die in this amount of time, they can't be 100% sure, because we would never know if this person would actually, you know, recover very quickly in, you know, 1 month's time. We wouldn't know. So I think if it's like a fully guarantee that like this person is not going to make it and it may be a slow and painful death, I think I would say an assisted dying bill would be suitable for them.
It's a very personal matter, though, isn't it? It's very, I mean, judging for somebody else, it's one of those things that if it affects you, it affects you. Lily, what's your thought on the assisted dying?
I think that assisted dying is more about the point of preserving someone's dignity, because when someone gets really, really sick, they can lose the ability to remember people, even if they don't have dementia and can start forgetting things anyway. And just because my granddad, he was very sick for a very long time, and he didn't want to go into a nursing home, but he had to because he had an accident and he could no longer live by himself. And about maybe 2 years before he died, he was just struggling to remember everyone, and I was one of the only people he could remember, but he would also sometimes mistake me for my mom, and I think that sometimes destroys the image that I did have of my granddad when he was healthy.
Oh, so the granddad that you knew wasn't there anymore?
Yeah. He was definitely a different person, which upset me a lot. And I think that if he'd had the opportunity to do the assisted dying, I think we would have supported him in doing that, because...
You think you would have?
Yeah, because all he wanted was to die peacefully in his own home. He was so adamant about not going to a nursing home, and he just really didn't want to go. That was something he used to always tell my mom, and basically he had to go into a nursing home. There was nowhere else he could go.
And what happened to him? Is he still there?
No, he passed away in 2020 on my birthday. I think it was just before we went into another lockdown, or it was when we went into our first lockdown, and they're not sure exactly how he died, but the doctor had visited him 2 hours earlier, basically said he was fine, and then he passed away. But he had surgery on his brain, and that kind of just led him into a slower downfall of just not being well.
Okay. We're live today at St. Ninian's High School in Douglas with the students in Year 12, and back in just a moment.
Bigger jackpots, more prizes, more chances to win. There's never been a better time to play the Hospice Lottery. We've now doubled the number of guaranteed monthly cash prizes to over 100, which means you now have the best ever odds for winning prizes. Plus, our monthly rollover jackpots build up to an incredible £10,000. Tickets are just £5, so don't miss out and help a great local cause too. Visit hospice.org.in now. Players must be over 16. Terms and conditions apply.
The Granite Centre in Laxey. For complete kitchen renovations, replacement worktops, and with over 35 distinct styles and finishes, there's a Zakuka instant boiling water tap for every home. Call 612287 or visit thelaxeykitchenco.im today.
Financial Options and Chase Wealth Solutions are committed to quality financial advice for the whole island. We have opened a new office at the Mountain View Innovation Centre in Ramsey, where we offer mortgage advice on Mondays and life assurance, investment and pension advice the rest of the week. Call 640-350 to book. Financial Options and Chase Wealth Solutions, serving the whole island. Chase Financial Services Limited, trading as Financial Options and Chase Wealth Solutions, is regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
SMS Trading, new and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Tonight here on Manx Radio at 6:30, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I catch up with Finn Partington and Candy Taylor on their return home from the northern area, and I also speak to the Southern Young Farmers chairman at their sheep shearing.
I went along to Belig Farm in Derby to study some soil samples through a microscope and speak to one of the guests of FWAG here on the island from Northumberland, Tom Fairfax.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6:30, and don't forget you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
This is the Man in Line on location.
at St Ninian's High School with Andy and the students of Year 12. Everybody here has been talking about this, and I know all about this place, but I didn't know all the subculture that went on. Ava, Happy Valley.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Tell me about, and the uninitiated, about Happy Valley. Well, I know where it is. It's opposite the Port Jack Chippy.
Yes, it's just slightly, it's in Onchan. It's a very steep steps towards a beach where everyone tends to go at the end of year 11 for end of school like celebration on their leavers day, and then usually tend to go once all the GCSE exams are finished, and it's a celebration. It's been going on for as long as I can remember. I know my family friends have been speaking about it that are much, much older than me, so it is a celebration every single year.
Okay. Did you go, Millie?
I didn't go to any of the Happy Valleys.
Didn't you?
No, not at
all. You? Zen, did you go?
Yeah, I did go to Happy Valley.
Yeah.
However, I didn't really do much there. It was kind of just like me just speaking to everyone.
Okay, Corbin, tell us about Happy Valley. Were you there?
Yeah, I was there. We had a lot more our year in year 11 than typical years. We probably
so
had
everybody
about...
goes down the very steep steps
yep.
down to the beach
yep.
at the bottom.
Exactly.
Okay, and fun and shenanigans, obviously.
Fun and shenanigans, of course. Yeah.
And what did you get up to?
You know, the casual stuff. drinking very appropriate soft drinks. And
how many people turn up?
I would say lowest was about 50, and the max was probably about 250.
Okay, Matthew, were you there?
Yes, I was, yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Yes, it was good.
Yes? Yeah. Everybody's laughing. Why did you have a very good time?
Yes, it was good, yeah.
Yeah. Was the weather okay?
I honestly don't remember. I think it started raining later
All right.
on.
Lily, stop laughing, Lily. Well, you were there, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah? What was it like?
I think it was good. It definitely gave everyone a chance to socialise with each other, with people we hadn't socialised with before.
To let off steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, before our GCSEs happened.
Yeah. Very steep steps to come back to, though, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So would you recommend Happy Valley socialising?
As long as you're doing it safely, yeah.
Right.
I don't see anything wrong with it as long as people aren't...
Well, you'd always get the idiots, won't you?
Yeah.
So you just hope there aren't many idiots there.
Yeah.
Is that right? What do you think about this ban of social media for under-16s?
I don't...
It's going to happen in Britain, apparently. We don't know whether it's going to happen over here.
I don't think it's, like, the most terrible thing to ever happen, but I think it should be for a different age group. I think it should be under-13s, which...
13?
Yeah. I don't think it should be under-16s having bans on social media, especially the likes of YouTube, which they're suggesting to ban, because the age group of GCSE students, which is 15 to 16, which they're trying to fully ban social media for, is an age group that needs YouTube to also be able to help them study for exams, because there's tons of revision resources online and on social media, including YouTube, where it condenses down the course for some people who might not be able to revise by looking at, like, textbooks.
When did you get a smartphone? How old were you?
I think I was about 8 or 9, but I was only...
8 or 9?
But I was only allowed WhatsApp.
Right.
Actually, no, I wasn't even allowed WhatsApp. I literally had messages to message my mum so I could go out to, like, the park and stuff, so my mum knew where I was. That was, and I don't think I got any social medias until I was 13. I didn't get any social medias until I was 13.
Okay, Matthew, what do you think about the ban of under-16s?
I think...
What's the rule here, by the way, at St Ninian's? Are you allowed your smartphone all the time?
We're only allowed our smartphones as sixth formers in the hub. But we used to be allowed them during our private study times, but that's been banned as well. Generally, for the rest of the school, you're not allowed your phone on school grounds at all during break time, lunchtime, and during lessons.
Okay. Corbin, what's your opinion on this?
About in school?
Well, yeah, I mean, in general, they're saying that under-16s will not be allowed smartphones.
Well...
Or to use smart social media.
I think it's interesting because I see the concept behind it. It would encourage more active socialisation, going out rather than staying in. There's a lot of toxic stuff online through social media that could be very much avoided. But then you've also got the other side of it, which is that age range is going to be going out. As Lily said before, they're going to be going out, they're going to be probably doing some stupid things, and having a phone there with social media on it to be able to contact people if needed, and even, as I said before, about education. It's crucial, in my opinion.
Okay, Zen?
I would think, in my opinion, that I think it's a bit too harsh to say banning under 16s, simply because, like, all of us have had, like, our own, like, what was it, like, internet safety days, like, many assemblies, like, to avoid, you know, giving away your password by accident, yeah, or all of that. We've had that from, like, primary school up until, you know, today even. And I think with that amount of, like, exposure to, like, what the horrors of what the internet can give, I think people who are under 16s are capable of, like, avoiding, like, the toxicity, the hacks, or, like, the phishing of what social media has given.
Well, I'm going to flatter everybody here now, because we have 6 year 12s. You're all well-adjusted, and you're all intelligent. Not everybody is, Zen.
Yeah.
There are some young people who aren't well-adjusted. There are some people who aren't as intelligent.
Yeah.
So is this going to prevent them from getting into trouble, or, as you said, there's some seeing that toxic stuff that they just can't unsee once they've seen it? Because there's some bad actors out on,
yeah,
on social media, aren't there?
But I think for a majority of it, I think we can, like, you know, be wary of, like, social media. I know there are some people who have, you know, fallen into this, like, you know, scam emails or other than that. But I would say under 16 is a bit too harsh. I would say something like under 13s or maybe under 12s who have still, you know, just gone social media, say, and, you know, can fall for any, like, message or any of the links.
Okay, Millie?
Me, myself, I don't really have social media, so I've only really got WhatsApp and YouTube. I've never been really allowed to have social media.
Who stopped that?
My mum.
Right.
But she did it with the best interests, just because she thought that, obviously, social media does have that bad impact on some people. And I feel like with the new ban, I feel like it should be under 13s, like Lily and Zen said, just because I felt like revision videos for YouTube for GCSEs, and also with that, sometimes people can, I just lost my train of thought then.
Did you feel in any way kind of wronged by the fact your mum said you can't go on social media?
At the time when I was younger, I thought that's the worst, everyone else has got it.
You didn't take it well?
No, but now I'm older, and I knew she did it with the best interests, and I know she didn't want me to fall into that, like, toxic environment that most, like, sometimes social media does have, but I respect it so much. Now I feel like it's developed me into not having all that, like, negativity. Because I knew she did it. I knew she was very unpopular when she decided that I shouldn't have it. But I love her for it now.
Ava, are you on social media?
I am. Yes.
How many hours a week?
Not as many as I think everyone would assume.
Are you on? Were you on Instagram, TikTok?
I'm probably on it all. So I'm probably
Facebook.
Yes, I love Facebook. I think I'm probably on most social medias, but I've found, especially coming into sick form and A levels, I'm actually not on my phone as a whole half as much as I normally would be. My screen time's pretty much halved since when I was younger and in maybe year 10 and 11. So I think now, because there's so much more going on, so much more to think about, I actually find myself hardly on my phone, if I'm honest.
And what do you think about under 16s being banned?
I think it's probably too late to implement a ban like that. I think trying to find people under 16 who don't have social media, and a good handful of people, is going to be extremely tricky. And then trying to take that off of people who don't who've already had it for so long, it's going to be so difficult. And I think so many people that are like, I mean, 8 or 9 year olds have got social media now. People have lost sort of the care to say, actually, no, don't have social media. It's dangerous. So I think it's going to be almost impossible to implement.
Well, you're looking at a career in the care of children.
Yeah.
I mean, social media has got good and bad sides. And I'm sure it can damage children, can't it?
Yeah, I think children aren't aware of the dangers of social media because, like I think Lily said, we do have loads of assemblies and things about being safe online. But actually, at the ages of 9 and 10, you don't have those assemblies. And actually, you're not aware of who people are behind just the screens and the characters that you see online. And I think it can be extremely dangerous for children. So I completely agree with the ban, but I just do think it's probably too late now. There's been too much development in phones and social medias to now implement a ban.
You wanted to talk about disability awareness, is that right?
Yes, I think the Isle of Man is actually quite, I'd say it's quite aware of disabilities. I think that there is quite a lot for people with disabilities, especially in the recent couple of years. I think there's clubs and there's societies that raise money consistently throughout the year for people with disabilities. And I think that's something so important. And I think it's so important that an island so small has that community for people with disabilities.
Is this mental or physical disabilities?
I think both. Yeah, I think both are extremely supported on the Isle of Man. I mean, everyone will have their own opinion and their own experiences, but through my personal family experience, I've got a younger cousin with Down syndrome, and he's so supported through school, through clubs outside of school. He's never been told that he can't, and I think that that's extremely important.
Okay. Lily's shaking her head. You've got an angry face on, Lily.
I completely disagree with Ava's opinion that they're supported. I don't think that people with disabilities are supported enough, especially when it's not a physical disability, because I have an older brother with autism, and throughout school he was told, you can't. And at one point they told my mum that he wouldn't even be sitting his GCSEs and not to worry about it. My mum had to fight for my brother to sit his GCSEs, which I think is completely unfair. I also think people are undereducated, especially about hidden disabilities like autism, ADHD. I think that people just don't know enough about them, and that they aren't all... Because sometimes visibly people can be like, oh, well, they're autistic, but there's not an actual look to being autistic or having ADHD, and I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Well, the spectrum is large and varied, isn't it?
Yeah.
So somebody can appear completely normal,
yeah,
but obviously maybe have inner struggles that nobody else will know about. So what do you think the government can do about all this?
I think definitely bringing in people into schools to talk about it and trying not to limit people with what they can and can't do. For example, at St. Ninian's, we do have the progress zone, which usually most people can go to. But I know I had a friend who had autism and was told she wasn't autistic enough to be able to go to the progress zone for support.
What's the progress zone?
It supports people with disabilities, but I've never really... Anyone that's been in lessons with everyone else, I've never really known them to go to the progress zone. But I do think that the progress zone is a good support system when used properly. And I just think that everything needs to be reassessed and thought about, definitely.
Okay. I was going to talk to Zen about it. I can't remember what I was going to talk to you about, Zen. You were wanting to be medicine, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And which particular part of medicine? Is it a surgeon, doctor, GP? What is it?
Well, I've been looking towards more of the ENT. It's eyes,
ears, nose and throat.
Yeah, ears, nose and throat, yes. It's something that I've researched lately. It's very, very detailed. I just got like a video that was like an hour long. With like a lot of notes on like what it is, but it's something that I've seen recently that like caught my interest, other than like things like heart, lungs and liver and all of that.
Yeah. You're better than you were, Coburn. Are you okay now?
Oh yeah, sorry, I just had a really bad coughing fit. I don't know where that came from. No, I was resisting.
We was then talking about ear, nose, and throat. That's what it was.
Probably. That's no.
It. Now, you're head boy, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, head boy. So, what do you do on a daily basis? What have you got any particular duties? What do you have to do?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing on a daily is to just look and act the part.
You're all prefects in here, aren't you?
Yes.
You're all prefects. So what does a prefect do? What's the responsibility?
So currently we're starting to sort into, what are they called? Committees. There you go. Yeah. We're starting to sort into committees which deal with different roles and jobs around the school, basically. So got committees like the coffee shop committee, which is in charge of organising and kind of deciding what's happening with our coffee shop and our hub. You've got the, I don't know whether to say famous or infamous, extravaganza.
This is the end of year thing, is that right?
Yeah.
Just tell us a bit more about that.
The extravaganza.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one.
Stage show, isn't it?
Yes, but it's got a lot more to it. A lot of planning goes into it. You've still got a very traditional side to it, which is the performances and the solo acts from bands and everything like that, which I think is amazing. It does go off the rails a bit sometimes, though. It is a bit... Yeah, it's still enjoyable, but it's an interesting one for sure.
Corbin, I wonder whether you can tell me... are young people still vaping? I don't need you to name any names or anything like that, but is vaping still common among young year 12s?
Yeah, of course. I think with vaping, because
it's not allowed in school, obviously.
It's not allowed in school, no.
Yeah.
Because it's so... Like, there's not any facts behind this, but if you look at vape packaging and the way it's marketed, it's very, very clearly orientated towards younger people with the flavours and the bright colouring. I think our kind of generation was probably about, 12 when vapes really started to come in. So we were at that age where we're starting to get a bit rebellious, and a lot of people in our age range look to vapes to be that, this thing that was, oh, you breathe it in and it's flavourful. That's what they looked for, and I think that's carried on because of it's an addictive substance.
Right.
So it is definitely still a big thing, even in our age range.
Okay, and lots of older people can't understand why young people would want to vape.
Mm.
So is it just to look cool?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think that might be the
peer
beginning
pressure?
Of it. I think peer pressure and trying to look cool is definitely the beginning of it, but just as smoking... that older generations might have more experience with, as it's obviously an older product, cigarettes. It's the exact same concept of nicotine. So when people see someone vaping and go, oh, they're just doing it to look cool, that might have been the initial reason, but the reason for carrying on a lot of the time is because people are addicted to the nicotine within the vapes.
Matthew, what do you think? I mean, do you think that an addiction to nicotine would go on to older life? Because that surely can't be a good idea for a young person.
Well, I know as a whole, vapes were mainly introduced with the intended purpose of trying to get smokers to step down and
help.
It's
for old people.
Well,
it was for old people.
It's supposed to help them get off of smoking, but obviously, like Corbin said, the marketing is very much towards younger people, and at that age, you're very impressionable. And I definitely think that it's an issue to think about, that when someone starts so young that it could develop into a lifelong thing that they just can't get rid of.
So what do you think should happen? I mean, should they ban it? I mean, at the moment, if you want to buy cigarettes, it's like getting into Fort Knox. They have to open a big cupboard and what have you. But vapes seem to be quite openly sold.
Well, I think personally that it should kind of be in the same area as smoking. It might not be as harmful, but if they haven't been around long enough for us to know the long-term effects of it. And it could very much be just as harmful, if not more, than cigarettes, just because of all the chemicals. And if you put them in the same area and kind of keep them under the same lock and key as smokes, I think it would help to kind of discourage people from trying so hard to get them. But it's already such a prominent issue that people have workarounds. I mean, people get other people to buy it for them, and it's kind of hard to get rid of.
Do you think if they ban them for all young people, it would work?
I don't think entirely, but I think it would definitely help, yes.
Corbin?
I was just going off of what Matthew was saying about the locking them up. They are literally within feet of the door in so many shops. You walk in, you look to your right, you're trying to find out what packet of sweets you want to buy, and it's a massive display of vapes. And I think, like Matthew was saying, that does massively contribute to why they are so popular, because that you walk in and you instantly see hundreds of flavors and all this, and to some people that would be enticing. And I think, as Matthew was saying, if you remove them from the front line of the shop, remove them and put them back into that section with the rest of the products, I think it would help a lot, as he was saying.
Okay, who's got a Saturday job here? And what do you do, Corbin?
I work at Ape Man. So,
oh, in the forest?
In the forest, yeah. Absolutely love it. It's probably the best job I could ask for at this moment in time. I just get to work with people all day. I get to do the courses when it's not busy. I get free lunches, which are amazing sandwiches. Thank
and you,
you
pass your test, yeah. So you pass your driving test, is
I
that right?
I have, yeah, yeah.
My word.
So that day.
So do you drive to school?
I drive to school, drive to work, drive to anywhere.
Right, you don't cycle at all?
I used to a little bit, but no, admittedly, I don't. At all.
Okay, because that's one of the government's things, is active travel, is that people should cycle. Anybody here cycle to... Matthew, do you cycle to school?
No, I don't.
Do you cycle at all?
No, I don't.
No,
it would be a bit hard for me to cycle from Bella Sala.
Well, you never know. Lily, do you cycle?
No.
No.
I don't think I've cycled since I've been about 12.
What do you think about this government thing then, where active travel, they're trying to get people out of cars.
Yeah.
So active travel, people should cycle or walk where they can.
Well, I think it's a good idea, but bikes are really expensive, aren't they? I'm pretty sure bikes are expensive because, especially when you're younger, you keep growing, so you keep on having to buy new bikes, or their parents love to buy new bikes for them, so it just make it difficult.
Okay, Zen, do you cycle at all?
Well, I have cycled a lot of times before, back in summer times.
Yeah.
Because I don't
cycle to school.
No, I've never cycled to school, but whenever I do travel, I sometimes walk. Or at times when it's a really good day, I go on cycling. Because obviously I don't have good transport anywhere. I don't drive.
Okay. Millie, do you cycle?
No, not really. I do have a bike, though. It's in my grandparents' garage.
Right.
But my grandma keeps on telling me to use it.
When was the last time you cycled, Millie?
Oh, my God. I'd say 2022. That's not a broad
Well, that's very honest.
Thing.
But,
yeah.
I mean, this is genuinely, the government want active travel. They want people to walk and cycle where they can and not use cars.
Now that cars have been so incorporated into life, I think it would be very difficult to try and phase out cars. I know it's a big thing in the UK and London, but with cars and on the Isle of Man, it's very difficult to maybe phase cars out of life.
Ava, do you cycle?
No, I don't cycle. No.
Would you if you could cycle? Do you,
I don't know.
Do
I
you
think,
drive a car?
Yes, I do. And I think since passing my driving test, it's so hard to imagine life not driving. And I think that's the problem. I think everyone drives for so long that actually going back on that and not having a car and not being able just to jump in your car and be to A to B in 10 minutes, it's almost impossible to think of.
Wow. So when the government say, and again, this is a stated aim, that particularly in places like Douglas, Onken and Braddon, which are quite tightly compact, that we should be walking and cycling.
I think the problem with that is in big cities like London and the UK, for example, they're actually doing quite well with trying to get less people to drive. They've got the electric e-bikes that they've got plotted all around the city. And I think because traffic is so prone in London, people are walking to work and people are getting the bike to work. But here, I mean, there's traffic, but you're never sat for hours on end in traffic as you would be in a big city in the UK. So I think it's easier for people to get in their car, even if there is traffic. That's a 10-minute delay on your journey, whereas it could take you, from Onken to your office in town. It could take you 20 minutes, 25 minutes on a bike. So I think it's a time thing. I think there's not enough traffic to make people want to just walk or get a bike.
Ava, what do older people misunderstand about young people? What don't older people get about young people?
I think think maybe not all old people, but I think a lot of elderly people have some misconceptions that I think all young people are just like rowdy, they're only here for no good, they walk around town just making trouble. But I think there are so many young people who genuinely are mature, they are so lovely, and they are actually like, they're an attribute to the community. And I think so many people are so like misconcepted, and I think people put such a bad shadow over young people on the Isle of Man because of a very small minority of people. And I think it's so disappointing for people, especially our age, to have such a bad rap about them when actually there's nothing bad about them.
Millie, what do older people not quite understand about young people?
I do completely agree with Ava, thinking that all these young people...
Oh, by the way,
yes.
When is old? How old does somebody have to be old? What age do you consider people old?
I'd say probably 70 to 75 over, not all for my grandparents, but that's, I think that for me is the case, because it'd be more retirement age. But for me, I think old is when you retire, or not because it's going up, but I think it's either a couple of years after retirement or retirement.
Zen, what age do you consider people old?
Well, maybe a bit lower, maybe like 65 maybe and over, I would say, like, is where the old is.
Right. And what is it that older people don't understand about young people?
I think it's the same with Ava. There's like a lot of like misconception with like elder people thinking young people are just like, they're here for trouble basically. And sometimes like when you go around as like all of us, we sometimes have to be careful with like what we say, because like sometimes people, like elder people like around us might think, he's up to no good, even though you might have said something that slipped out of your mouth or something.
Okay, Lily, what is it that older people don't understand?
More that just we're not all horrible people, because I think everyone thinks that everyone like under the age of 18 or even like under the ages of like 21, all we do is cause trouble, and like all we do is scream in the streets, when in reality that's like only like maybe 2% of us.
Okay.
It's not all of us.
Matthew?
I think it's a lot of the way our society is progressing, and the way as we step into a more progressive society where everyone is accepted, and so many societal norms that maybe older people have grown up with are being broken. I think it's maybe that they don't like that change and they're not comfortable with it, so they kind of become uncomfortable and dislike younger people because of that.
Okay, Corbin?
I feel like this is a decreasing amount of older people that believe in this, but I think there's a, like I say, uncommon misconception nowadays about hard work in life, or it, like, hard work is all you need to get far in life, and it just simply isn't. Like, even if you work hard, with housing market and mortgage rates and everything in modern times, working hard sometimes just doesn't cut it. It's so difficult sometimes, or all the time, objectively, it's difficult to get onto the housing market, to really settle down in life because of prices of everything. So I think that that misconception needs to be fully erased.
Okay, thank you, Corbin. Thank you, Zen. Thank you, Millie. Thank you, Lua Ava. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you to Liz. Thanks to Matty Cunningham and to Howie on the microphone. And thanks to everyone at St. Ninian's High School.
WINT.